Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right back to the front lines of history in the making, we're going to go to the lines themselves. Dave Emekwan, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Matt. I just wanted to respond to a couple things. One in regards to the flat taxes being possibly proposed. It should be noted, Matt, that Michigan, state of Michigan has a flat tax. State of Illinois has a flat tax. Indiana has a flat tax. Iowa just put in the law that they're going to go to flat tax as well. In addition to that, Tennessee does not have a state income tax. South Dakota does not have a state income tax. This is to basically Minnesota is the only one. If we were to go to a flat tax, Minnesota would be the only upper Great Lakes state that would have a progressive state tax. This is about competition, and if you look at our neighbors, I mean, that is what's happening here. So I think that that's one of the reasons why it's being proposed. And number two, in regards with what you were just talking about, and I think with the Steele dossier, the Durham file, apparently it's come out, and the CIA actually would not even touch this because they saw that it was user-created. And we're going to see the trial, I think it's coming up in May, and there have been Clinton campaign people, I think five so far that have taken the fifth, and that's their right. They have to be identified, you know, as a, if they're being subjugated as a witness or, you know, some other ideas, we'll see what happens with it. But I just wanted to put that out there that there is something in regarding with this. So I just put that out there today, man.
Well, Dave, thanks for calling in. As you can imagine, I don't agree with anything you've just said, although I think you're a good man, and I hope you continue to call in. Here's why I don't agree. Let's say you take your first thing on the flat tax. The United States has a flat tax. That's our model. Fighting Bob La Follette is the one that would advocate for something like that. Our culture and the United States has a flat tax. I mean, has a progressive income tax, does not have a flat tax. So when the United States has it, and we have it, that's pretty good company. Number two, you don't want to live in Tennessee and South Dakota. You really don't. I like Tennessee and South Dakota. I have friends there. I have relatives, short tail cousin type relatives in South Dakota. I don't want to live there. Minnesota has a very similar culture to ours. I like Iowa. I don't want to live in Iowa. I want to live in this. Listen, Iowa has been described as Wisconsin without Milwaukee. Okay. I want to live in Milwaukee. You want to live in the Milwaukee area for a good reason. Florida doesn't have an income tax at all. A lot of people go down there, but you know, have you ever taken a look at Florida schools? They just don't spend money on things. I went down there once on vacation and I slipped on a deck and I broke my finger, and it was, nasty little thing. So I go to the local emergency room. They had about 300 people there. Turns out they had one doctor. I'm not kidding. It was a guy from Nigeria, a really nice guy. I sat there for an hour. Finally, they said, all right, Matt Flynn, you can come into this next room. And I thought, okay, he'll see me. No, he's not going to see me. They triage, obviously, people that had heart attacks or whatever. Guy sitting next to me, this is in Florida, and it looked like he had a pink earring, one pink earring. I thought, okay, well, that's his preference. Then I looked, it wasn't a pink earring. he had a fish hook through his ear, and it had a lure on it that was pink. I said, what happened? He said, there's a place called Kelly's Fish Shop, downtown Naples. Have you ever been there? Nice little fish shop. He's walking along the pier, and a guy's casting, and it comes back and hooks him in the ear. And the guy comes running towards him, and he thought, great, the guy's going to help me. Guy didn't help him. He pulled out a knife, cut the line, and ran away. So this poor guy has a fish hook in his ear. Now, he's going to get seen before I do with a busted finger, okay, and a guy with a heart attack. But I was there for a couple of hours. I left, and I got a crooked finger to this day. I left. That's what I did. I left. So you want to live in a state that has no income tax. You better be able to afford private schools, and they don't spend anything on social services. I was driving into Naples, and they have bobcats down there. A bobcat, for Pete's sake. The damn thing was like 50 pounds. And I could see him loping along the road in front of me. I mean, what happened if you're a little kid in the backyard playing by himself and a bobcat? You know, so I like Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, you'll come to an intersection in a rural area, and there may say there's a traffic light somewhere, an intersection. It's firmly bolted, painted. It's on a pole. Okay. You go to someplace in Indiana, and it's hanging on a string, and maybe it fell down. I mean, what kind of state do you want to live in? And then I would say, well, what other entity has a progressive income tax? The United States. United States, that's my model. Tennessee isn't my model. Florida is not my model with no income tax. That's it. And as far as the Durham report, let's be very blunt about here. There's a concerted effort among people in the Republican Party to erase history. And that is to say, there was no Russian collusion. Trump doesn't really care about, like Putin. Putin didn't hack into Hillary's emails. Trump didn't say on national TV, Russia, if you're listening, you know, hack into Hillary's emails. They're going to erase history. Durham, that's a fraud. He was put in by Trump and Bob Barr and made special counsel to make it harder to fire him politically. I would fire him. He's no good. The CIA listens to all Russian telephone conversations. You can listen through walls. One day they're sitting there listening, and they hear a guy speak pretty good English. They said, my God, that guy speaks good English. It was Don Trump Jr. They grab him, and they go, what were you talking about? And they have a transcript of it, and he lies, and he goes, adoptions. I was thinking of adopting somebody from Russia. I mean, look, Eric Trump, told the journalists that the Russians have funded them for a long time because the New York banks won't. Why won't the New York banks? Because Trump cheated them for so long. He went bankrupt, pulled the plug on them. So that's what you got. So when you say that somehow there's something with the Steele report overall has borne out. People say, oh, well, but where's the video? It's in Putin's porn library. That's where the video is. So, okay, Dave, I mean, I think you've been sold a bill of goods by the Republicans. We're going to fit in one quick call. And there's other people on the line. Stay on the line. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's on your mind? Gene of Eau Claire.
Good morning, Matt. Great show.
Okay, Gene, speak up a little bit. I can't really hear you.
Okay. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks
show.
For calling.
Yeah, great show as usual, Matt. You know, this tax idea here, I'll tell you, it's amazing to me on how people really need to look up ALEC, A-L-E-C. They also need to look up the Koch brothers, because these people are running our state. It's amazing to me because if you notice, a lot of the states come up with the same type of laws, and they are generated from their group where they meet with the big businesses, not little businesses, but the very wealthiest people. And then they follow their laws, you know, like right to work, you know, those types of laws, and even the taxation laws. So people need to be aware of this. Republicans do, and I'm sorry to say this, people with the R after their name, I used to vote for people with their R after their name. These are not the same group. And we got to watch out for them. Sorry, folks, and people with the R to their name, you need to be vigilant because this is not your party, and you need to be aware of it. And, oh, by the way, they tax you on other areas. They tax you higher when you go out to eat. They tax you higher on your telephone bills. They tax you higher on things you buy. So, you know, take a look at some of them southern states, too. It's a very interesting thing they're trying to pull in Wisconsin. But, you know,
You know, you hit the nail on the head. They raise the sales tax. They raise every other kind of tax, the hotel tax, this kind of tax, that kind of tax. And those are what are called regressive taxes. A flat tax is a regressive tax because what it does is it shifts the burden more to poorer people and it relieves them on wealthier people. Look, I would love a world where there were no taxes. There was a free lunch, but there is no free lunch. And I think that the progressive income tax, which we have at the federal level and we have in Wisconsin and a number of other states, is the way to go. It's been fair. People can make money, make good money. They can amass a lot of wealth. I like to see people amass wealth. I really do. I'm not one of these guys in the Democratic Party that doesn't like rich people. I think more people should be rich. But you have to pay for services. In Wisconsin, we have great public schools. We have great municipal services. And that's not true in Florida, and that's not true in a lot of places. And if you're a poor person, you get the short end of the stick. So anyway, Gene, as always, thanks for calling in. Very, very good and passionate. Going to a break. There are people on the line. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. In order, we start with Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's in your mind?
I guess, Matt, this would be from the world we live in. Don't get me wrong, I'm totally on board with what the Justice Department is doing, you know, as far as the mask mandate. And they jumped all over it within a day of it being repealed, correct? Okay, that's all good. Meanwhile, we've got a guy, a criminal in my mind, insurrectionist Rudy Giuliani. I don't know if you've seen it. I guess people thought it was funny, but he was in some dumb reality show. You had to guess the singer, and he's in some bird outfit. It's got to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And you're supposed to guess who the singer is. And he did a rendition of Bad to the Bone. Well, I guess, you know, it's out there. I'm sure you can find it if you haven't seen it. I saw it on the news this morning. And I'm thinking, this is the world we live in. The Justice Department has a year and a half's worth of evidence. It's there. They better get on this before the midterms, because this will all get shut down, and the likes of that clown in Ohio and all the rest and the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world are going to be running this country if we're not careful.
Right. Dick, you hit the nail on the head, as always, and I'll even go one step further. We have a very short period of time. Nancy Pelosi will be speaker till January. With any luck, she'd be reelected, and we'll keep the majority. But let's say, for the sake of argument, things take a bad bounce. I don't think they will, but for some reason, we lose the House. If we lose the House, what's going to happen is Kevin McCarthy is going to come in, rip up all the subpoenas. He's going to disband the January 6th commission, and he's going to ratify everything Trump did. And if we lose the Senate as well, and even if we don't lose the Senate, if we lose the House, Biden's agenda is going to be shut down, absolutely shut down. So we have a very short period of time. I'm amazed that Giuliani hasn't been indicted already, quite frankly. I mean, this guy, and he didn't get pardoned. I'm amazed he didn't get pardoned by Trump because he sucked up to Trump. But this guy has felonies in his wake all over the place, people getting charged. And this guy, what, does he lead a charmed life? I mean, why is he not being charged with some of the stuff he did? So you hit the nail on the head. We have a very short period of time. And then even worse, After that, we have two more years till 2024. And in 2024, if God forbid Trump ever got back in, he'd pull us out of NATO, continually to racially divide us, ruin us economically. And that clown cannot be permitted to get back in. Excellent call. Thanks. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks, Colin. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Hey, just so many things just pulling me and tugging me in different directions. I mean, the Durham report is, you know, if Biden was like Trump, he would have fired John Durham on day one and say, well, let this investigation cease because you know, that's what Trump did and initiated a lot of this stuff. When he fired James Comey to let Michael Flynn off the hook for all his you know, felonious activities. I mean, pure and simple, that's where it is. That's where some of this, you know, that's why the NRA hasn't been dragged out and exposed for the fraud the leadership has done to, you know, what used to be actually decent organization. That, and you're right, we have to go after these people. You roll out the indictments now, get the public hearings, you know, before the people, the American people, right as soon as you can on all the crimes the Trump crime family has created. And any Republicans, if they're involved in this stuff, you haul them out there. You start indicting these people for their crimes on January 6th. January 6th was an insurrection. It was an attempt. More and more of the evidence is coming out. This was a coordinated attempt to overthrow the election of the United States of America. And we should call it that. I mean, we have our supporters out there. CJ, you know, would support anything Trump did. I mean, if they found a basement full of young virgins that Trump had executed whatever God Trump worships, CJ says, well, that's okay. I mean, it is just...
Yeah, you know, you have a very good point there about the insurrection. Now, think about this for a second. They erected a gallows, and they walked through the hall saying, hang Mike Pence. Now, they went there to murder, some of them, murder the vice president of the United States because he wouldn't declare that the electoral vote were invalid. That's why they were there, to hang Mike Pence and to intimidate Congress, to drive them out of session, which they did for a period of time, so that they couldn't accept the electoral vote counts, which had come in from 50 states, 50 governors, and 50 secretaries of state, the majority of whom were Republicans. That's what happened. It was an insurrection to overturn a free and democratically run election to interfere with the peaceful transition of power. It was not peaceful. Five people died. A woman got shot. A woman got trampled to death. A cop was beaten, and he was about to be trampled to death until he said he had four kids and a couple of people protected him. Cops were beaten up, dragged down the stairs, their heads bumping off the stairs. Over 100 of them were disabled as a result of this. They had some kind of disability, some kind of recovery period. That is an insurrection. Our enemies looked at that, China, Russia. They looked at it. They realized that we were not unified, that we are weakened. And then China threatens Taiwan and Russia invades Ukraine. And what does the Republican Party do? They attack a wartime president. They stab Joe Biden in the back. They don't stab Putin. They don't say Putin is evil. He's a Hitler wannabe, Stalin wannabe, an evil individual, and join the fight. If they'd done that against Roosevelt, they would have been in jail. But there's a formal declaration of war. There's a formal declaration of war. Here, there's not been yet a formal declaration of war. So that's what's happening. You're absolutely right about the insurrection. People who try to minimize it, Ron Johnson, just a bunch of fellas letting off steam. I would have been really worried if it had been Black Lives Matter. That's what he said. Stick the racial thing in. You can't have a senator like that. That isn't fighting Bob La Follette. That isn't Bill Proxmire. You can't have guys like that. That isn't Les Aspin. Can't have guys like that. You cannot have guys like that. Well, I'll tell you what. Germany is trying to save a little face, saying we are going to import no Russian oil by the end of this year. What? Okay. In other words, 9 more months or 8 more months while the genocide goes on. And by the summer, down to 50%, and gas will follow. That was a sneaky thing to say, because when they were questioned, they said, we are going to Europeanize it. And then it turns out the EU said they'll be weaned of Russian gas by 2030. That's 7 years from now. A lot of genocide in 7 years. Germany's been a real problem. It has not stuck up. They have voted to sanction Russia, so that's good. They're part of NATO. But when it comes to sending anything to Ukraine, they send ammunition and training. They start out by sending 5,000 helmets. Germany's afraid of Russia, not just because of energy. It is a weak spot. Biden has handled them very skillfully, put together a sanction package, but they are a weak spot when it comes to defense. And we in the UK and Eastern Europe are going to have to, in effect, take the lead in all this and do what has to be done. We're going to talk about that more after the break. Coming up on a break, the lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Some good news. Joe Biden is sending a lot more arms to Ukraine, at least $800 million worth. More importantly, more heavy offensive arms to repulse that Russian invasion. Very, very poignant statement made from Mariupol. There's a major, Sergei Volina. He is with the Marines, the 36th Marine Brigade, Ukrainian, holed up in the steel mill. And he sent out a video. He said, we have 500 wounded troops here. We have thousands of civilians. We're trapped, surrounded by the Russians who keep bombing. The 36th Marine Brigade is in there, as well as the, it's called the Azov Stack Steel Unit. These are people, really good, tough fighters. The Azov Regiment. And they're going to get wiped out. And Putin just announced, and he thinks he's being sly, told the Russians, don't go in and storm them, starve them. So they're holding back. Putin thinks he's going to help himself. If he broke in, he'd lose a lot of troops. And then he'd be in there on TV massacring civilians. So he thinks this is something sneaky that he can get away with. People starve. They'll come running out, like out of the Warsaw ghetto or something, with their hands up, little kids with their hands up. With their hands up. Putin put out a statement. You wonder how credible or how incredulous or how credulous the Russian people are, saying that they have rescued 35,000 Ukrainian children who were held captive. These 35,000 children, it's more than that, actually. He kidnapped, taken from their parents into Ukraine. They were captive of their parents and their relatives. He kidnapped them. It's very similar to the Ottoman Empire back in the 16th century. They'd go into Bulgaria and Serbia, kidnap 10-year-olds. That'd be like fourth graders. Kidnap them, take them to Turkey, forcibly convert them, call them Janissaries, send them back to the Balkans to kill their relatives. That's what this animal is doing. That's what this animal, Putin, is doing. We have got to relieve the siege of Mariupol. We've got to get at least food and water in there and reinforcements for those troops, ammunition. Take out the wounded and get the medical care. In a modern state, in the 21st century, you cannot sit there from a border nearby, say, okay, you're not going to do a genocide in this country, but okay, you're doing it there. We're not going to interfere. If you do that, you have no soul. If you do that, you are representing a culture, whether it's in NATO or Europe or the U.S. or anywhere, a culture that stood by and watched a genocide and did nothing to relieve it. You're saying, okay, you are gang raping, carving swastikas on women and burning them, but it's not in NATO country. So we won't do anything. That's not a culture worth preserving. That's not what we are. There was a major misconception early on, fueled by the fact that Biden and the United States has three enemies: Putin, Germany, and the Republican leadership. The Republican leadership is not loyal to the United States. It will stab the United States. It will stab a wartime president. And Biden had to attend to that, attend to the sneakiness of Germany in being soft on Russia and Putin. We have a very strong military. We have a budget of $750 billion. I know the guy is threatening. He rattles the nuclear saber, and he figures, okay, then I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Well, no, we can't do whatever he wants. We have got to relieve the siege of Mariupol. A lot of the arms we're sending him now to Zelensky should have been sent 6 weeks ago, but for the treason of the Republican Party in this country, but for Germany and these threats from Putin. We are starting to disregard them now, starting to disregard them. I would get a humanitarian corridor, just announce to Putin that's what we're doing to stop a genocide. Surely the Republican people don't want a genocide committed in their name. That's what we're doing. And by the way, don't even think about stopping us. Stand down while we do it. If they don't stand down, give them everything we have. Give them everything we have. In the meantime, we've given the Ukrainians about 20 more planes. We've done it very covertly and I think intelligently. We should have given them 70 more planes. We should give them missile firing planes that swoop around Mariupol and decimate all of the Russian positions, that attack the ships in the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. We sunk the Moscow. I say we, the Ukrainians, from a flatbed truck on the beach. It's a worthless navy. They also hit another ship, hit yet another one before the May 9 celebration in Moscow, hit yet another one the day of the celebration. The genocidal animal Putin has to be dragged out by the mob. But you cannot have these people hold up and stand by and watch a genocide. And you have treasonous Republicans like Trump, like Tucker Carlson, like Pompeo, like Hawley. This is the group of Republicans who would stab a wartime president. They are not taken seriously by a lot of people. Poll just came out saying that Biden is 54% of people said that he is not tough enough with Russia in this thing. 36% he's doing the right thing. 8% too tough. When over half the people say you're not being tough enough, they don't want to hear that the Republican Party is treasonous and knifing you in the back. They know that. They want to hear that Putin is a genocidal sadist. They know that. They want to hear that Germany is chicken and wobbly. They know that. They know that. Get the arms in, get the air cover in, no fly zone over Ukraine. It's not Russian territory. And we're doing it to get a corridor in. and Putin don't even think of interfering. Start droning some of the oligarchs, especially the head of the Wagner Group. Any Wagner Group fighter, any Chechenian or Syrian Islamic terrorist there should be executed immediately. They should not be treated as people would be in the rules of war. These are animals. We've got to do something a lot tougher. We're going to the line. CJ of Stoughton, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, CJ?
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. As I listen to you, I get more and more frustrated. You know, the sad thing is that you want us to forget what happened in Afghanistan. This wonderful president, and if this is success, I'd hate to see failure. We're not going to forget that we left hundreds of Americans behind and thousands of allies behind. This great commander cut and run, and $85 million worth of equipment left Bagram Air Base. You think we could have used that right now, Matt? You know, and the Republicans are pretty good with their money, because if you would have listened to your own Democratic treasurer from Obama administration, Larry Summers, he said, don't do what you're going to do. You're going to cause inflation, which hurts lower income people more than anybody. Well, the truth is coming, and you're afraid of it. And John Durham has indictments, and they're coming right at the Democrat Party. So as you cry that we're terrible wartime people, we don't forget Afghanistan like you have, Matt. This guy is a disaster. He watched Russia built up troops, said that the threat of sanctions were a deterrent. Oh, no, that was his administration, not him. He said sanctions were never meant to deter. So as you say woke is history, well, you got to tell the whole story, because we're just failing, and we're failing Ukraine. And this guy is a disaster. So you can claim that we're un-American, but help is on the way in November. And the
CJ, let me respond. You raised a lot of stuff, and I will just say this: nowhere in what we just said did I hear the name Putin. I heard attacks against our American president, hatred of our American president, but not hatred of Putin. I didn't hear you say that Putin is a genocidal sadist. I didn't hear you say that the siege of Mariupol is genocide, like the Nazi siege of Leningrad in the 1940s. I didn't hear you say that. I didn't hear you say that we should put a no-fly zone over Ukraine. I didn't hear you say that we should beat the Russians. I didn't hear you say that we should take out their ships and their troops, and that we can do it with the Ukrainians, who are very unified and good fighters, simply by giving them the planes and the missiles to do it. I didn't hear you say any of that. What I heard you say is that Biden left hundreds of American citizens in Afghanistan. Let's respond to that. There were more than 30 notices that went out to everybody in Kabul and in Afghanistan. Any American, and that means any green card holder as well as citizen, should be leave immediately. It wasn't hundreds, but some stayed, and they were mostly green card holders. They were all ethnic Afghans. There weren't guys like you and me that just decided to hang around Kabul, okay? And these ethnic Afghans, I respect what they did. They stayed because their ailing parents were there, or their families were there. That was their choice. Biden didn't leave them there. Biden gave them a chance to get out. And then when you immediately segue to the, I'm surprised you didn't raise Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, we're talking about Ukraine, for God's sake. People are being murdered, and you're shining me with Hunter Biden's laptop? No, you didn't do that. You shined me with the Durham investigation. CJ, you got to get better material. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk about the mask mandate. The mask mandate. Judge down in Florida, named Catherine Kimball Mizell, said that it was unconstitutional. Well, actually, she didn't say it was unconstitutional. She said it was not authorized by Congress, unlawful for the CDC to impose a mask mandate. What happened was initially the Biden, it was only going to be extended a few more weeks. So the Biden administration said, well, okay, let's see what the CDC says. The Center for Disease Control then came out and said this would be a terrible thing given the spike in infections. So the Biden administration is appealing. What's the backstory on this? The backstory is she's a federal judge put in by Trump. She was confirmed 49-41 when the Republicans controlled the Senate. She was a law clerk for Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. She's a member of the Federalist Society. The American Bar Association, which is actually a fairly conservative association and its leadership leans Republican, rated her as not qualified. Sent a letter to the Senate saying she is not qualified to be a federal judge. And they were very kind to her. They said she's basically just out of law school. She's very young. She's been out of law school 10 years, but she's never tried a case. She's never, either as first chair or second chair, done a case. All of her work has been political work in the Trump Justice Department because she was a Clarence Thomas clerk and because she was in the Federalist Society. She went with a private firm for a few months. She has no beans about the law. So it gets assigned to her, and it was a political decision. And let me tell you something. I'm a member of the American Bar Association and the Wisconsin Bar, and we take our profession very seriously. And it's not a matter of politics. The American Bar Association, if anything, frequently is accused as leadership of tilting slightly Republican. But above all, they have integrity, and above all, they care about the standards in the profession. You don't just take somebody right out of law school who's never practiced law in any meaningful way and been a political type in a, you know, she was one of the ones that would research memos on immigration, on anything having to do with the Federalist Society position on any cultural issue, LGBT, that kind of thing. And then they put her in as a federal judge. And the ABA said to the Senate, we rate her unqualified. That, let me tell you something, up until not too long ago, that was the kiss of death. If you go into a doctor and there's a sign on the wall that says that the American Medical Association has looked at this doctor's credentials and what he's accomplished and rates him unqualified, you'd walk out. The medical and the legal professions like to govern themselves, and they take it very seriously. What Trump did is he appointed a lot of judges who were deemed unqualified. Now, she was not deemed unqualified for any moral reason or that she was a bad person. They said, look, you know, I think with some seasoning, we'll look at it again, but you can't take somebody who's relatively recently out of law school and never meaningfully practiced law and never been in a courtroom trying a case or as a first or second year first or second chair litigator is what we call it. So pick somebody else. And no, Trump and Moscow Mitch rammed her through. And they got a dividend out of it because she is nothing more than a Federalist Society Clarence Thomas law clerk sitting there making a political decision. And what she said was she looked at the statute, says that the CDC, as a matter of public health, can take such actions as deems necessary. And one of the words used was sanitation. And she said, and this defies the law ever since the CDC was formed and even before it was formed, people wore masks going back to the flu in 1918. They called it the Spanish flu. It actually originated in China. They called it Spanish flu because the English had fought with Spain and there were Anglophiles in our State Department. That's why they called it the Spanish flu. It had nothing to do with Spain. It was China. But in any event, that flu killed a lot of people, and people wore masks. Then the CDC came along after that, and they said we should wear masks on airplanes. A lot of people still are. And Catherine Kimball Mizell, recently out of law school, deemed unqualified by the American Bar Association, made a political decision. It's as if she was sitting in the Trump Justice Department. There's absolutely no integrity to that decision. There's no authenticity to that decision. I'm hoping that an appeals court will reinstate the ban immediately, because appeals take a long time, and there'll simply be more infections because of this. That's the background of it. An unqualified, ABA unqualified federal judge has said that you got to yank the masks because Trump's against masks. That's really what it comes down to. This is very sad. Development in Wisconsin politics, interview with Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson said he is grieving over his decision not to run for governor this time. And it wasn't his decision, but his family, especially his daughters, wife and daughters, Kelly Thompson and others, his daughter, very well-regarded people, decided, or they advised him that they thought he shouldn't do it. But then he said something that will reverberate, and you are going to see an effect of it, I think, shortly. Tim Michaels is the CEO of a construction company, the Michaels Construction Company. He's a Republican, conservative Republican, but he's not a Rebecca Clayfish Trump Republican. He's more of a Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney Republican. In fact, even more moderate than that. He's a Tommy Thompson Republican. In any event, he told Tommy Thompson, according to Thompson, I won't run if you run, but if you're not going to run, I will. I think that's good news, and I say that as a Democrat. I think that's good news. Why do I think that's good news? The Republican Party is spiraling into a fascist party that wants to destroy our democracy. There are more than 400 bills in legislatures around the country to interfere with our right to vote, make it more difficult, and frankly, take away the right to vote. What do I mean by that? There are bills, and there's going to be one that would be signed by Clayfish that would say that when it comes to presidential electors starting in 2024, the legislature picks them. The presidential election, the presidential primary election is, the presidential general election is simply a beauty contest. And that's true in Arizona and elsewhere. There's a constitutional question whether that's valid, but unfortunately, I think that the Federalist Society judges on the Supreme Court would say that's valid. Michaels would veto that. Michaels would stand up for our democracy. And that, to me, right now, is the most important issue facing our country, which is the lurching to fascism. And it's important to nail down in the Republican Party some insurance against the what if. What if the Republican won? You may not vote for the Republican. You may not want the Republican. But what if the Republican won? And if it's a Trump federally, or if it's a Clayfish here, our democracy is going to be destroyed in this state. And it's going to take generations to restore it, if ever. So everybody should root for Michaels to run and to beat Clayfish. And a message to Michaels right now is this: run, because Nicholson can't win, Ramtin can't win. Clayfish is despised by Trump because she was Walker's cheerleader, and Walker disparaged Trump and dropped out of the presidential race because he said, I have to have somebody that can beat Trump. Trump will not endorse Clayfish. That means the various Trump types are not going to be crazy about her. And then you have a real penetration in the regular Republican Party. Coming to the end of the show, great call-ins and always. Matt Flynn, Director, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.